Good morning and welcome to Seeing with the Eyes of Love. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini. It's working.
It's working. With the rain, we thought it might not.
Yes, lovely, lovely. Love it when it works.
Love it when it works. Since this is our last show for a while, Sherry, I thought it might be appropriate for us to have quotes on love.
Uh-huh. I think so.
And so here are the two of my favorites. Love focuses on the goodness of life in all its expressions and augments that which is positive. It dissolves negativity by recontextualizing it rather than by attacking it.
Oh,
love focuses on the goodness of life and all its expressions and augments that which is positive. It dissolves negativity by recontextualizing it rather than by attacking it. It really is seeing through the eyes of love, right? That's
yes.
The recontextualization.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, we have to have this one from the Buddha, from the Dhammapada. For hatred does not cease by hatred at any time. Hatred ceases by love. This is an unalterable law.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. The only way to stop hatred is with love.
Right. If you go to hatred in response to hatred, then there's no healing anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm. So simple.
It seems to me,
and yet
we have to stop the cycle.
Challenging. Yeah. Yes. Exactly. And it's the point that everyone makes. All of our heroes make. It has to stop with me.
Yes.
Because they, whoever they are, are responsible for themselves. That I am responsible for stopping the hatred and choosing the love. Here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm. And I know we talked about this quote, but I think the Mahatma Gandhi one, which we're looking at and I'm happy to share, is really the how of it. Shall I read that too?
Yes, please.
Do not worry in the least about yourself. Leave all the worry to God. This appears to be the commandment in all religions. This need not frighten anyone. The person who devotes themselves to service with a clear conscience will day by day grasp the necessity for it in greater measure and will continually grow richer in faith. The path of service can hardly be trodden by one who is not prepared to renounce self-interest and to recognize the conditions of their birth. Consciously or unconsciously, every one of us does render some service or other. If we cultivate the habit of doing this service deliberately, our desire for service will steadily grow stronger and will make not only for our own happiness, but that of the world at large.
Mm. That is such a beautiful, beautiful point. We are all rendering some kind of service.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, I may do one tiny little act. I may not step on a flower. And that's it for the day. That's my one act of service. And yet, I am doing service. And if I realize that I could have stepped on that flower and I chose not to, and I have a sense, even if for a split second, where that choice came from, I'm going to realize, I'm going to see a direction open up in front of me, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that desire for that, actually for that feeling will grow in me until, as Gandhi points out, before long, that feeling, that experience of being at one with life is the only one that we really want. Everything else pales in comparison. Anything selfish or with self-will is just not, is seen as unsatisfactory. It's not that we have to give anything up, we just don't want to do it.
Yeah. Well, and it brings such a, all those three things together, right? The unalterable law is that love is the only thing that works. That the way to, the way not to indulge in hatred is the recontextualization of negativity. So see through the eyes of love. And the path is the path of service, because it's the only path through which self-interest, which is the root of hatred, gets dissolved in love.
Yeah. It's perfect, isn't
it?
It's perfect. It's like a recipe. We don't have to wander around not knowing what to do. Go ahead. Sorry, I interrupted you.
Well, only just that because worrying for the self is an expression of self-interest, like ego is always looking for its survival. And the only way for the focus of the attention not to be on that and to be in love, which does not have self-interest as the focus, is service. Mm-hmm. And so let go of the worry and let go and choose that path of service from which we come back to love.
Yeah. So it's as simple, in the lingo of our practice, it's as simple as turning the attention away from the conversation conditioned mind, which is always about ego survival, and giving that attention to someone or something else.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the someone or something else can be as broad as love. It could be the person standing next to you. It can be that flower that you're choosing not to step on. Service doesn't, we don't have to go out and feed all the hungry. We can just, if feeding hungry people is of interest to us, then find somebody who's hungry and feed them.
Mm-hmm.
And then you might decide on 2 or 3 or 4 or 5.
Mm-hmm.
Or, yeah, it'll grow as we learn that the satisfaction we've been seeking is the relief. This is one really to grasp, that the satisfaction we're seeking is the relief of not being in service to the ego.
Okay, well, we have more callers than we have time for, so let's see if we can get as many of them on the queue. First caller,
All right.
Now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, Sherry. Hi, Ashwini. It's Ramita.
Hello, Ramita.
Hello. I'm just feeling a tremendous amount of gratitude for this opportunity to be with you and to recontextualize who I am, why I'm here, this practice, this amazing opportunity to recognize that I am not conditioning and I don't have to fight with it.
Yes. Yes. Give up the fight, huh? Just lose interest in it.
Yeah, step back into a much larger sphere. That word recontextualize, just, you know, life, authentic, true nature is so much larger than that. And before practice, there was no way to access that other than those moments of grace that just dropped in from who knows where. And now there's a practice. I know exactly how to do this.
Yes. Yeah. And that not fighting with it, that goes back to the immutable law, doesn't it? And that's ego's greatest skill, right? We're either going along with it, or we get, so protecting it and furthering its interests, or we get talked into fighting with it. And either way, resisting it, either way, we're in relationship with it. And the real secret is just walk away. I always think it's George Carlin who did this little routine, but I don't know who it actually was, but somebody, a pacifist, was talking. And the person they were talking to said, well, what if there was a war and nobody showed up? And this is one of those, could we skip a few beats there and just consider that? Yeah. What if somebody called a war and nobody showed up? Yeah. So what if we, instead of worrying that self-interest, how am I? Am I doing the right thing? Am I being the right person? Is this good? What do they think? What is it? Just lose interest. Just walk off. Be a pacifist.
Be the vastness. Yes. Yes. Just fall back into this life that is here supporting me and supporting everything, and no need, there's nothing wrong, which is that conversation again that ego wants to pull me into so that I struggle and fight and oppose it, and there I am stuck in duality instead of recognizing that's all an illusion.
It's all an illusion. There is actually no problem, and we know how to prove that to ourselves. Right? As you say, it's not a theory. It's not a, I'm sure the Buddha was able to do it, and I know Jesus sounds like he knew what he was talking about, but we do know how to prove it to ourselves. Every time we drop that conversation, bring the attention back to the breath, feel our feet on the ground, get here, we know that experience. We have just dropped in to the vastness, that larger context that is authenticity.
And then,
of course, our practice is to stay there, right? First we get there and recognize it, and then practice becomes returning to it and staying there, which is great. That's a whole different thing, right? I know how to play baseball. Now I'm practicing to improve my skills.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Spend more time in the game.
Exactly. I don't have to be in the conversation of, I'm never going to understand. I'm never going to be able to. They're all so much better than. No, I know how to do this now. Mm-hmm. And that actually, sports analogies are always so helpful because they do point at something really, really important, which is I have to practice it. An intellectual understanding is not going to get me there. And if I really want to practice it, as you indicated, I have to practice a lot. And I have to practice with the best coaches I can find.
Yes.
Right? Because I'm not going to accomplish this in my backyard.
Right. Definitely not a solitary sport.
It is not a solitary endeavor. Exactly so. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for doing this, and I look forward to another wonderful year of practice and focusing on joy.
Woo! Gonna be good,
I'll be with you. Yeah, I'll be with you in spirit over the retreat. So thank
you.
Oh,
thank you, Ramita. Thank you. Take good care of yourself.
I shall.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Ramita. Okay, I'm just going to move us through, Sherry, and see as many callers as, I've never seen this many callers in queue. So here we go.
Okay, well, here we go.
Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, sorry, I was muted.
Hey, Laura.
This is Laura.
Hi, Laura.
So, I just star six and, push one just because that's what we do. And then conditioning went rampant, trying to figure out what to talk about. And I just was so appreciate just being able to drop all that and go, well, who knows what we'll talk about.
Job one is to get here, right? Yeah. As soon as we're here, something's gonna happen.
Yes, so I just want to first say a deep thank you, and I know it's been said a lot, but I want to participate in the thank you. I'm just my jaw dropping around the offerings of practice and that this Sangha does, and the devotion to offering supports to those of us out here that want to wake up and end suffering. So a deep thank you for all that everyone does. It's so appreciated.
Well, thank you, Laura, and it's exactly what we were just talking about with these quotes, right? Because everything that we do, everything that each one of us does to get here, to be here for one another, is the service that we're talking about. Right? That's it. And so the more we realize that, and the more we realize the joy we're seeking, because we are, let's face it, it takes us a while to get selfless about joy, I think. But that comes from exactly this kind of thing that we're all doing together right now. And when we realize that, what happens, at least for me, is I want to do more of that. I want to do more of that. I want to spend my whole life doing that. What else would I be doing?
Yes, and it's really interesting when I heard about kind of you guys continuing to offer these calls. Conditioning went to this place of, well, how am I supposed to fit that into, you know, my life? And it was just like a chuckle of like, really? Like, it's fascinating because I could, you know, then there's other times way back when there's that conversation of there's never support, there's no, you know, and
doing it all by myself. How am I expected? The ego whines, and then what? More support? Are you crazy? How much support can you have?
Yeah, and so that was really, it's all the places to be able to see conditioning thwarted or to see it spun up.
Yes.
And so the latest one that I'm taking on, and when you guys were talking yesterday on the call, what came up for me was I want to do a social media fast.
Oh,
and, and the voices did not want me to talk about that out loud. Like, it was like, yeah, sure, you can do that, but don't tell anybody. Because I'll be accountable.
Yeah, exactly. If nobody knows that you're on this special diet, then when I talk you out of being on it, it'll be fine. It won't be a problem.
Exactly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then I could see conditioning get involved with trying to come up with the parameters of what that would look like.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The reason why I knew it was conditioning is because all of a sudden it didn't feel fun isn't the right word, but it felt hard. Like, okay, well, you can do it with this and with work, but what about this? And it got confusing. And that lightness of, hey, how about you do a 30-day social media fast? Like, that lightness of that was completely gone, and now it was all in the mind of trying to figure out, well, what does that actually look like?
Yes, and that's it, right? What you just laid out is exactly how suffering happens. In the moment, and there's this intuition, and there's nothing but goodness in that. You can feel what it would be like without that influence in your life, and how relaxing and happy and open that would be, and how interesting it would be to see how you were different in the process of doing that, right? Mm-hmm. And then conditioned mind gets it, and the noodling begins. And before long, it has sucked all of the energy out of that intuition, out of that insight, and you're left feeling like, oh, my God, I can't do this. I mean, that's ridiculous. It's too hard. And yet, the only thing that's hard is that conversation that you were just having with conditioned mind.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And it's so good to see, because it's a process that's happening across the board to everybody all the time. That's how it does it. Well, let's think about that. Let's make a plan. Okay, let's figure out how to figure out. You know, I'm obsessive about figure out, right? And that's why. Well, let's figure out how to do that. That means let's go up into conditioned mind and I'll suck the life force out of you.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yep, exactly. And it occurs to me that, you know, a social media fast is just exactly that. Like, you don't do it.
Right. Yeah. Yes.
So there is no other conversation.
There's really not a lot to figure out, is there? You just don't do it. And the thing about it is, if there's something, so you need to do something, and you're on your computer, and something comes up. Uh-huh. Okay, and you watch what happens to you when that happens. And you learn a lot about that, right? Now, conditioning would say, see, now you might as well just go to Facebook because you've blown your fast. Well, no, actually, I saw what happened when that happened, and it was really interesting, and I'm going back to my commitment.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's freedom.
Yes. Well, at the end of the day, it feels like this is content I get to practice with because I've been noticing energy suck when I'm on, I'm not actually, the boundaries around it aren't really clear. So this is the content in which I get to choose freedom.
Yes. For 30 days. Right? It's like, I'm not going to whatever it is for 30 days. I'm not saying I'm never going to do this again, but for ego, it's life and death. Because it's why, when we bring up something like service, no. Because once you start and you realize the relief that comes from not being in ego resistance, and you start realizing, this is enjoyable. I like this. This feels good. Ego's in big trouble. So 30 days for ego could be a death sentence. We can only hope.
Yes.
Yeah? So for us to realize, I'm just saying 30 days. I'm not saying forever.
Mm-hmm.
And to watch the level of panic that ego goes into, it tells you how tenuous its grip is on you.
Oh, that feels so true. Because if it was not a big deal, there would have felt no resistance to it. It'd have been like, oh, okay.
Yeah, sure. 30. Oh, yeah, sure. Pick you up in 30 days. But no, ego knows that each moment is a matter of life and death for the ego, for the negativity. Yeah. All right.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. Congratulations. I'll be eager to hear how it goes.
I will check back in.
Yeah, and Laura, for all of us who make those kinds of commitments, AA has a good thing going about that. Okay? One day at a time.
Hmm.
We do it one day at a time. We check in every morning. We check in the night before about our next day and what's important to us and what we want to focus on. Not content so much as process, right? So how do I want to be? And that's when you realize, I want to stick with that commitment because I'm seeing this and this and this and this. And then you get up the next day and you think, this is it. And what I want to remember to stay firm with my commitment because ego's going to come after me about that. And this is why I'm doing it. And you can see the importance of recording and listening, right? Because it's just a lot of conversations. And then you get through your day and at the end of the day, you note what happened. Wow, I realized around 3 o'clock when I wanted that cup of coffee and to turn on Facebook and just zone out for a while. All right. Well, that's really interesting, right? Then how's tomorrow? What do I want to focus on tomorrow? What's important for me there? Yeah, and that's how we live our lives, day by day by day by day.
Well, and there is a book that could support me in this whole process, I think. It's called Making a Change for Good. So
yes, I think so, a 30-day retreat. Yes, what a good idea.
Yeah. Oh, brilliant.
Thank you, Laura.
Thank you. Thank you
Thanks,
both.
Thanks, Laura. Sherry, it's a recontextualization again, right? Because from an ego perspective, a fast is a label. There's no time limit on it. And life always thinks about fasting, right? It's always a process.
Mm-hmm.
It's not
it's not a period at the end of a sentence. It's a process. And if we can recontextualize, it's so much more doable. Because we're not saying no to something, which is what ego's MO is. We are saying yes to a process of discovery around a piece of content.
Yes. That is such an important point. The ego is always looking at no, because ego is no. Right? It's looking at no, it's looking through no, it's looking at negativity, it's looking at loss, lack, deprivation, what's wrong, what's missing. Yeah? And what we're doing. Say it again?
And it's looking at content, like a label of fast means absolute 100% deprivation for now and forever, not fasting as a process.
Aha. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Right. Verb form. Mm-hmm.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. Mm. Life is a gerund.
Yes.
Can you say that? Yeah.
Okay, well, I think we have time for one more caller, Sherry.
All right, great.
Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Greta.
Hey, Greta.
Hi. Well, I too want to express my deep appreciation for this series of radio shows. It has been transformative.
Good. That's all any of us ask, huh? What we're doing is transformative. Yeah.
Yeah, and what I would say about recontextualization is that seeing with the eyes of love, to me, has really recontextualized practice. And something that you just said about, we're saying yes to the place we're going as opposed to saying no to conditioning in that way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's hard to put into words, isn't it? I mean, it's an intuitive sensing kind of thing. And the amount of energy that is freed up in that shift is certainly all the energy we need to do whatever it is that we want to do.
Right, right. And the thing that called my attention to it yesterday was how much when I listen to these recordings, there's just so much in them, so much richness, and they really go and land in a place that, we have a lot of recordings in practice, but these are landing in a way that I project that my heart can just listen to them over and over again because there's this resonance with what is being said and what and the way in which we're being offered to practice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm with you, Greta, and I've actually talked to Ashwini about it. And it's why we decided to do this every day for next year, because there's something about. I mean, it's true. We have more practice opportunities, I'm sure, than any practice that has ever existed on the face of the earth. Right? Somebody in theory could be doing something practice based. Every day, right? Kind of around the clock.
Mm-hmm.
There's something about this constant daily get together, focus on a specific topic that is one that we all want to be focused on, that is different. It's different. I can feel the difference in my practice. And when I asked Ashwini about it, she said she could feel the difference in her practice too. And that's what we're hearing from folks. That it's the daily focus on what we want for our lives that is being so transformative.
Right, right. And someone used the word devotion earlier, and that's what I think is part of the shift is, there is this element of the divine and the sacred that we hear about, but when we focus in that way, we're actually having this experience of it. on a regular basis so that it can resonate more strongly than the pull to our quote-unquote real life.
Yes. That is, I kind of got chills when you said that, because that's what it is, at least that's my experience of it, that the resonance, right? There's this little, that tuning fork idea that Ashwini talks about, I think it's that, how, there's this little quiver, right? There's a quiver, and then it becomes more noticeable. It gets stronger, and the vibrations are deeper and more recognizable, and then more so, and more so, and more so, until, as you're indicating, that resonance is more powerful in our awareness than all the distraction, the crapola, the what I need to do, my to-do list, my conversation and conditioned mind. We're vibrating at that divine level. and that vibration calling us back to ourselves is that relief that I was attempting to point out earlier. It's the satisfaction that we've been seeking. It's that homecoming.
Right. And that resonance then allows us to when we're with other people, as a lot of people have talked about during this series of calls, we can more easily, if we're tuned into that place in us, it's a lot easier to tune into that place in others, no matter what the topic, we're still getting that sense of connection that might otherwise not be there if we were just in conditioned mind and reacting to whatever is being talked about. It's such a better place to live from a heart connection and get below that level of saying, well, you're about this and I'm about that and this duality that is, doesn't exist.
Doesn't actually exist unless we give attention to it and cause it to appear to exist.
Right.
Such a great point. And I think that goes two ways, right? So we can, when we feel that divine vibration in ourselves, which of course is always there, it's what we are. We're just touching into it on such a regular basis that we become that more conscious of it throughout the day. And that's part of the service. Because as we can touch into that and recognize that in other people and choose to focus on that in other people can feel it in us too. And that's a tremendous gift. Just to be kind of a safe, quiet place for somebody to be for a few minutes.
Well, and it's the way that we can be Gandhi. We can be the change we want to see in the world. If we're resonating here with this, with the divine, with the sacred, with love, whatever that we want our attention on, we have so much a better chance of carrying that into the world and finding that place that life is calling us to instead of, as you described, going up in our head and trying to find service somewhere out there. It just relaxes to the whole experience and it presents itself for us, and we're so fortunate to have this practice to show us all these steps that have been laid out over these last few weeks has been such a clear-cut way to do things.
Well, thank you. And the word that you, I know we're over time, but what the heck, it's our last show for a month, so we can just all just struggle along, I bet, huh? So the word that you used, devotion, and I'm hoping that that's what happens to us in this coming year, is that we find a devotion to that resonance that enables us to make a choice for participating on a regular basis and not getting talked out of, well, it's interesting for a couple of weeks and then I've got these other things that I, but really to choose in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of constant devotion, right, and ever-expanding faith, and that's that's what we're going to do. We're going to prove to ourselves that that kind of devotion produces for us, provides for us the reward that we have been hoping for in this lifetime.
Amen,
thank you, Greta. Amen.
Looking very forward to this next coming year. Thank you very much
for kicking
it off.
Yeah. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Greta. You know, Sherry, it's something someone said in group last night, too, that the recontextualization that Greta talked about is we have a choice in our spiritual practice, whether we go up against the voices or we choose love. And this show, particularly with its focus on choosing love, focuses the attention on that sacred or whatever it is that we're talking about that we so resonate with. And that resonance is what allows us to carry it forth. It's sort of such a shift in orientation, right, which is to choose love, not to seize hatred. They're very distinct as processes.
Yes, exactly so. Yeah. Choosing love no matter what. Don't worry about hatred. Just don't go there.
Yes. And not don't choose the, even though seizing hatred may look like choosing love, they're not the same thing.
Yes.
And that subtle change allows for a deeper and deeper experience to living in the process of love. And something that dropped in all this devotion thing, that one of the Hindu ways of talking about it is letting go the ego is our highest offering of worship.
Mm. Uh-huh. Letting go the ego is the highest act of worship.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Well, it's true, isn't it? If I'm going to say thank you to the divine, then and I'm going to live that gratitude, it can't come second to being concerned about me.
Yes. which ties back to the Gandhi quote.
Yeah. Oh, I just love it, don't you?
And
Ashwini, did you have an announcement for us?
I did.
Everybody goes.
So first of all, Deep Gush, Sherry, thank you so much for these radio shows. So echoing the gratitude.
Oh, and to you.
And we have a gap till the kickoff on the 21st, I believe. And we actually are spinning up a group coaching offering called Seeing with the Eyes of Love. And this is for anyone who, based on these shows and on what's going on in the world, wants to make a commitment to doing what their heart wants to be the change in the world, whether that's daily acts of kindness or joining an organization or doing a fundraiser for a cause that they love. There's a group coaching offering starting January 4th for supporting you in that process of actualizing your heart's desire to be the change in the world. And so stay tuned for that. I think the emails will be coming out around it.
Okay, and that'll, it, for anybody who's really fired up now, that'll tide you over until we all meet up again in 2017 with these calls, these daily calls.
That's right.
I think
it's Wednesday, 4 to 5 p.m.
Wednesday,
Jan
4 to 5 p.m.
11th, 18th, and 25th.
All right, Pacific time.
Pacific time.
Okay. Thank you again, Ashwini. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Deep Gush Show to all of you. Take good care. Have a wonderful holiday season. And we'll be talking soon.
Very soon. And Merry Christmas, everybody. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.